Standing with me and reading, the word of the Lord says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The psalmist tells us in the CEV version, our Lord, we belong to you. We tell you what worries us. You won't let us fall. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. Simply, God cares about you. God cares about you. Would you lift your voice? Just briefly pray with me that God would help us to be doers of his word. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the offering, God. We thank you for all the preparation that has gone in tonight, God, to get us to this point. But we ask that we'll be not just hearers, not just listeners or participators, but God, we would be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never, somebody say never,
never.
Suffer the righteous to be moved. It's perilous times, and we've got to be focused on Jesus. Didn't get too many amens there. I should have had 100 amens. It's perilous times, and we've got to be focused on Jesus. And now, as Christians and believers, we're not exempt from trouble. And some of you are saying, Pastor, how'd you know? I rode to church with trouble in the front seat. And but Job tells us in Job 14:1, Job tells us that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We're not, as Christians and believers, we are not exempt from the poor decisions of others. We as Christians and Holy Ghost filled apostolic Pentecostals are not exempt from bills. We're not exempt from life. Well, or attitudes, good attitudes. Don't have to always be bad attitudes. Some people need an attitude adjustment, though. But we're not exempt from flat tires. I got a reality of that the other day. Thank the Lord. I was just on my way to you down here, and praise the Lord, I pulled into the Sousa's tire shop, and they're like, oh, we'll take care of you, Pastor. No problem. $40 later, they took care of it. Amen. We're not exempt from weather conditions. Many of our brothers and sisters last week were in Florida dealing with a hurricane, and we're not exempt from weather conditions. The Bible tells us, in fact, in Matthew chapter 5:45, it says that he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. And as Christians and believers, we're not exempt from betrayal or homework or algebra or term papers. I didn't get too many amens from that. Or the ignorance of others. We're not exempt from emotions and feelings. I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm going to tell you this just because you need to be reminded of this, but you're not a robot. God created us with a heart and feelings and tears and emotions. So that's it's called life. It's called having compassion and having anger and emotions. But we do have a refuge. And our refuge is not in an illicit relationship, and our refuge is not in drugs or alcohol, whether they're legal or not. Our refuge is not in money. Somebody say mo money. Our refuge is not in backsliding. But our refuge is in the Lord. In fact, it's the psalmist that tells us in Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength. Notice this, a very present help in trouble. Very present help. Tell somebody, God cares about you. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 56:9, in fact, if you're taking notes tonight, it is Bible study, and I appreciate so many of you that are bringing your Bibles, and I see many of you writing we're highlighting in during Bible study, and that's what it's all about. But Psalm 56 and 9 tells us, it says, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. Notice this, this I know. Psalm 56 and 9, this I know, for God is for me. It's pretty amazing. You got to remind yourself that this I know, God is for me. He cares about you. We do have a hope. And our hope is not regulated on society. It's not regulated on what education level you have obtained. It's our hope is not regulated on the financial status of the economy. But our hope is in the Lord. Amen. Our hope is in the Lord. Romans 15 and 13 tells us that now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of yourself, right? No. Through the power of positive thinking. No. Somebody say the Holy Ghost. He says that you may abound in hope. It's that we may have our views enlarged to see things in a spiritual realm instead of in the natural realm. Instead of putting on the glass, I talked about that some time back. Putting on the glasses in the natural help us see things in the natural, but we've got to put on the spiritual glasses so that we can see things in the spiritual. There was a time when the man of God began to tell his helper to go out there and look again. He had to go out a couple of times to look again, and then he came back and said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. I want to tell somebody here this morning that God cares for you. And sometimes we've got to go out and pray again and look again and re-strategize again and say, God, what is your will? Because God cares about his people. And if he cares about his people, he cares about the church. And if he cares about the church, he cares about the city. And if he cares about the city, he cares about the county. And if he cares about the county, he cares about the prodigals. He cares about the region. Can I tell somebody that God cares for us? God cares about us so much that he has given us one another. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and give him a big old cheese. One of those big old. Show him your gum. Show him. Say, yeah, he's giving me you, brother. He's giving me you, sister. But he didn't give us one another to put one another down. He didn't give us one another to keep score on one another so we could size up who's more holy in our eyes and who can pray the loudest. But he's given us one another so that we can be a blessing and be united one to another and to be encouragers. God cares about you. That he has not only given us his word, but he has given us one another. And many times it's people that he uses to show us that he cares for us through his word. That's why he tells us that. Not be hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But we've got to be doers of his word. God uses people many times to execute the mission and the prophetic and answer prayers. Sometimes we are the answer to other people's prayers because God cares about us. In fact, it's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10 and 24. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I've kind of been hitting this like a hammer on a rock some every so often lately, but we've got to be encouragers of what God is doing, because I could make a list and you can make a list about everything that is wrong in our church and in your life and what's wrong with your ministry and your relationship with God and how you part your hair and how you walk around like the rooster or like the snail or the turtle, or you run around like the rabbit. But we are not called to size one another up and to point the finger at one another. Because remember, when you're pointing the finger at somebody, you've got other fingers pointing back at you. But we are called to be an encourager, to be exhorting of one another. So much the more. This is not no haters club. This is a praising environment. This is a worshiping environment. This is a church of the living God. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He cares about us. We need to be an encourager of one another. We need the encouragement of one another's prayers. Anybody thankful that we have prayer? And when we pray together, it's powerful. The blessings of praying together is that we can change things together. In fact, it's in Acts 4:31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. God cares enough about us that he instructs us to pray one for another. It's in Hebrews 13:18. The Bible says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. You want somebody to be more honest? Pray for them. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Paul writes, he says, brethren, somebody say, pray for us. God cares about us that so much that he has given us something called praise. And we all qualify tonight to be a praiser based off of Psalm 150:6, to let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And so there's something about praise that it begins to change the atmosphere. It begins to change circumstances. In fact, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 79:13, so we thy people and the sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Cares so much about us that the scripture tells us that he inhabits the praises, or the praise of Israel, or he inhabits the praise of his people. All the people of God say, amen. Amen. We need the encouragement of one another's faithfulness. I look forward to seeing you at church. Because, Sister Duart, we know what it's like to be in this building with just four of us. We've been there and done that. But can I tell you, it's encouraging to see the faithfulness of God's people on a Wednesday night gathering together, because God cares for us. We look forward to seeing you on Zoom and prayer and around town. Praise God. Amen. We shouldn't be turning, oh, I don't want them to see these babies. Hey, Brother Nichols, it's good to see you. Hey, Brother Brianna, it's good to see. We ought to be shouting to the mountaintop, why are these people so friendly? Yeah, hey, we're not in gangs. One family, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. God cares about us. We have a spiritual support system. It's called the church. Oh, yeah. And the biggest problem with our spiritual support system, you know what that problem is? It's you. And it's me. Because we're imperfect people. But aren't you glad that we're all imperfect together and we serve a perfect God and he cares about us? The church is a beautiful thing. I thank the Lord for a church. And we, the people, make up the church. And the enemy of our soul doesn't want us to be the church, have church, or grow the church. But God cares so much about us and about people that he has given us the church. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:14, for the body is not one member, but many. Many members in this church. Many people, different backgrounds, different stories, different ideas, different experiences, but all redeemed, all forgiven, all saved and staying saved and doing our best to live a life that is holy and pleasing unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. It's pleasing unto the Lord. We're not trying to live a life that sets a standard to the person next to us. That person next to you didn't forgive you of your sins. That person next to you didn't shed their blood on the cross. That person next to you, they're not paying your bills. That person next to you is not pumping oxygen in your breath, in your lungs, but it's his breath in our lungs. It's his blood on the cross. It's him that gives us the Holy Ghost. It's him that we're buried in baptism. We are one body. We're one church. We're brothers and sisters in the church. We're part of the household of faith. God cares enough about us that he has given us a spiritual support system, which is called the church. If you fall short, then we all pull together to help you get back up. I didn't get too many amens with that. Galatians 6 and 1 tells us, now this is only for the spiritual people. Not for the critic, not for the Pharisee mindset, holier than thou. This is for the people that are walking with the Lord, working hard to develop spiritual fruit. Because if we walk with the Lord and develop spiritual fruit, then the fruit of the Spirit will manifest itself, and then the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation. Amen. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Nobody should ever come to the altar alone. I know this is going to, I'm pastoring Wednesday night. But these altars ought to be packed. I know we've got a little bit more space now. We've learned some things. We don't want to be on top of each other with cooties and all that. I get it. But when it's altar call time or pre-service prayer, we ought to fill this altar area with praise and prayer and worship. I thank all of you that have been doing it. I especially want to thank the leadership and the Sunday school department coming up here and showing our kids and young people what it's like to pray and be a worshiper. Somebody say amen. God cares enough about us that he's blessed us with the body of Christ that we call the church. And in this church, somebody say in this church, we've got to ensure that we are encouraging one another and praying one for another. Not gossiping, not being critical, not taking out our spiritual ruler, not being busybodies. In fact, if you want to be busy about something, be busy about your Father's business. Be busy about praying and fasting. Come on, somebody. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11 says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. In fact, I'm going to say this. If you want to butt your nose into something, this is a good place to put your nose right there. It's a great place. Can I get an amen? Amen. Be the first to tell you tonight that not everyone cares about you like you think they do. But God does. Come on, somebody. God does. In fact, Pastor does. And I'm doing my best to do better in every way that I can. But in Hebrews 13 and 17, it says, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I care about your spiritual salvation. I want you to be saved, and I want you to stay saved. I want your kids and your young people to be saved and discipled. I want to see your prodigals get back home before it's too late. Come on, somebody. God cares about you so much that he has given us all a promise. It's Acts 2 and 39. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Somebody say are far off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Everything we do at Revival Tabernacle ought to be to know Jesus and to make him known. That's what it ought to be. And everybody take a deep breath. Listen, I'm not looking to be your BFF. And there will be times that Sister Panero and I or somebody on the ministry team under my pastoral approval, they're on the ministry team and they come to you with love and they raise a flag about something in your life that has a spiritual concern. It's because God cares enough about you to place us in your life for such a time so that we can get saved, stay saved, and make it to heaven. Somebody say amen. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 and 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Notice this. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That means to be a servant mindset, serving one another and serving the Lord. For the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not a one-man show. So that you could get all the likes on social media when we take your picture and post it and say, oh my goodness, we want that person or that's the person that should. No. This is not about one. This is not about Pastor Panero. My name is not on the church sign, but it says Revival Tabernacle. That's what it says. This is an apostolic Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled church. We worship one God and we know that his name is Jesus. We're going to be a holy people on the inside and on the outside. And God cares so much about us that he's allowed me to be your pastor. One of the greatest blessings of my life. But it's for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Not edifying of your ministry. Not edifying for your social status and for your image. No, it's for the edification of the body of Christ. We're planting churches not so pastor can have big status. No, we're starting churches because there's 450,000 people that need Jesus. And God has called us for such a time because he cares about us. Will it be overwhelming at times? Somebody say yes. Yes. But we persevere. Psalm 32 and 8 says, I will instruct thee. Notice this. He cares so much about us that he says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with mine eye. Will it be frustrating at times? Somebody shout yes. But we persevere. Will it be weary at times? Yes. Somebody shout yes. Yes. But we persevere because God cares about us so much that he tells us in Galatians 5 and 19 to let us not be weary in well doing. Galatians 6 and 9, excuse me. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. One of the greatest challenges that we as believers face on a regular basis is what we will believe. Our feelings and emotions or the infallible word of the Lord. Amen. Somebody's going to miss that, so I'm going to say it again. One of the greatest challenges that we face every day is what we will believe. Will we believe our feelings and emotions or will we believe the infallible word of the Lord? Our feelings are real. We feel them. They're strong. But our feelings are a poor barometer of truth. Though they're true feelings, they're not always true. But you know what's true? God's word. Whether we feel it or not, God's word is true. That's why when the psalmist says, in Psalm 55 and 22, to cast our burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain it. He shall never suffer for the righteous to be moved. He's literally telling us to throw our burdens at his feet, to throw it down, just to, I'll use a more relevant term, just to drop them like it's hot. Just somebody's jam right there, right? Burdens. That which is born with difficulty, a load, stress, anxiety. What and if we give it to him, he's the best part is he's able to sustain us. That means he's able to support us, to keep us going. If it's weighing you down, it will slow you down. If it's weighing you down, it will eventually isolate you or distract you. And the overall theme of this psalm is to trust the Lord regardless of whatever peril that we may be facing. And we've got to trust the Lord whenever we're feeling fearful or trying to piece things back together. We've got to trust the Lord. And we all carry some sort of weight or burden or stress that we have to deal with from time to time. And most of us will probably not walk in here and tell somebody what we're dealing or facing with. Now, I know there's some that like to be Facebook poets and they'll tell everybody everything, but that ought not to be. Just saying. Right? But you ought to be an encourager. Maybe it's the weight of loneliness, the burden that you carry for a backslidden or a prodigal, the stress of the unknown. But we can cast those burdens upon the Lord, and he says that he will sustain us. Somebody say he will sustain me. Notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 37 and 17. The Lord upholdeth the righteous. Notice again in Psalm 145 and 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raise up all those that be bowed down. I'm reaching for somebody tonight, and I want you to know that whatever it is that you've been lugging around like a backpack, you can spiritually lay it down today. Amen. You don't have to carry it around with you forever. The oppression from the burden, the cares of this world, the burdens of an unsaved spouse, the burden of the pressures of jobs. I'm just gonna come for it right now. The anxiety that the gas prices are going up again. Let me share with you. Let me just tell you something. Listen, if you are doing what you're supposed to be doing as a steward, you're going to be okay. But if you're not, you need to get another two or three, four or five jobs, because you're gonna need it. You may want to get a moped and a bicycle and start putting gas in the garage. But the Bible says, David even says, he said, "I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." God will provide for his people. He will take care of his people. It's Jehovah Jireh. It's just not a cool song that we sing. It means that my God is a provider. He will take care of you because he cares about you. It's his reputation, not yours. He said, "Prove, try me, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and begin to pour out blessings for you," because he cares for you. Isolation is not a spiritual skill set. It's actually one of the main tactics of the enemy to get you isolated. Get you alone by yourself. There's a time to be alone with the Lord, but not alone by yourself. You become, and I've said it before, but idleness is not a spiritual gift. If you're wandering around with not much to do, you need to get it together and say, Lord, I need to do something. I got to volunteer, because an idle mind is a devil's playground. The old timers would say, and if it was good for them back then, it still rings loud and clear today that we've got to be busy about our Father's business. Listen, the enemy wants you to be isolated from God and His Word, the man of God, the people of God. Because if He can get you alone by yourself, isolated from the Lord, before you realize you're not talking to the Lord and praying, communication's cut off. One of the biggest downfalls in relationships, whether it's between a husband and wife or just in relationships working with people, is the failure to communicate effectively. Think about that. Because we're not mind readers. You know, mind readers in here? Right? No mind readers. I know what you're all thinking. Pastor's got 5 more minutes. That's a, yeah. But we're not mind readers. The enemy would want to get you cut off from communication. But God cares about us so much that He's given us so much to read. So we could talk to Him and He could talk to us. He's given us prayer. He's given us the church. He's given us technology where we can listen to good, solid preaching that is in spiritual alignment with what God has for you. We cannot allow the communication of God's word to become to isolate us so that we begin open to everything that everybody has to say. No, God cares about us so much that he tells us, how shall a man grow in Christ to cleanse his way by taking heed to the word of God. We've got to have communications. We cannot allow the enemy of our soul to isolate us where we begin to lose our roar. We begin to lose our growl. But no, we have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We've got to have a praise and a prayer. We've got to have a time with God, because He cares enough about us that He's given us a new day. We say it often. It's a bit biblical. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But how many of us wake up every morning and before we get a cup of coffee, before we get up and get dressed and leave the house, do we talk to the Lord or see what the Lord has for us? And we take day and day and week and we talk about all the things we're going to do and all the places we're going to go, and God is standing there day after day. The sun rises, the sun sets, and we haven't had a talk with the Lord. God cares about us. That He will give us in exchange beauty for ashes. He will give us in exchange, Isaiah writes in 61:3, the oil of joy for mourning. God cares enough about us that He will give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, the garment of praise looks better on us anyways. It fits better. Try wearing the garment of praise instead of the burdens of this life. The psalmist declares to us, Psalm 91:2, that we can trust in the Lord. He says, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Again, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 62:8, trust in Him at all times. Powerful right there. It's convicting, actually. when you really look at it. Don't need to raise your hand, but how many are trusting the Lord at all times? Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. How many of us are transparent enough to say that? Not always doing that. God is a refuge for us. The psalmist told us to cast our cares on Him because the Lord cares for us and He will sustain us. But the apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, tells us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So here we have the psalmist in the Old Testament, and we have the apostle Peter in the New Testament. If there was anybody that had doubt, could have had doubt, whether the Lord cared about him, it's the Apostle Peter. After all that he had did, we know without a shadow of a doubt, because we know the rest of the story, that the Lord truly did care about the Apostle Peter. So much so that he gave him the keys to the kingdom. He preached the Acts 2:38 message. God cares about you and I tonight as well. As the musicians come, he cares about us. That today he allowed us this wonderful privilege to be gathered in this place of worship. He loves us so much that the fact that we are here is evidence of the faithfulness of God. Evidence today of the compassion of the Lord. Seated in front of you and beside you is 100 testimonies that all our life God has been faithful. Oh, a testimony that he cares for us. I may have some things that my mom would want to tell you about me when I was a little kid, but oh, what would the Lord say about us today? That, oh, there's some things I want to do with them and their life and their church and in their ministry and their home because I care about them. Our God is great. And he cares about us. He's confidential. And he cares about you. He understands. And guess what? He cares about you. Oh, yeah. He loves you so much that he died on the cross for our sins. Even when we were sinners, he loved us. And he died on the cross because he cares about us as we stand here tonight. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, 28, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. You need rest today, spiritual rest? God will give you rest, but you got to give him your burdens. You got to give it to him, and you can't pick it up and take it home with you and say, well, because you've adapted, I feel a little preach. I'm just. You've adapted to living with that burden for so long, it's just become part of who you are. It's not the will of God. You've got to lay it down. You've been used to walking with that burden. You've been used to walking hunched over with that burden. And it's just the way it is. It's just who you were. It's just the way it's been. You've just learned to accept that the devil is a liar. God cares about you, that he wants you to lay it down so he can sustain you, so he could spiritually work and get you straight up again so that you could worship and praise the Lord. Let the Lord this evening, let him do a work in your life. Let him as we begin to grow, as God begins to push and stretch us spiritually, let the Lord begin to spiritually work on your heart and your mind, your ministry and your life here this evening. Can we lift our hands unto the Lord and lift our voices unto the Lord? Come on, He cares about you. He cares about you this evening. Come on. Mom and dad, elders, leadership, guests, He cares about you. Come on, would you step out of the aisle? Would you come? Would you come around the front and begin to pray? Maybe even mentally, or just begin to drop some things at the feet of the altar. Say, Lord, I'm withholding nothing tonight. I surrender all to you. I give you all of me tonight, oh God. Can we begin to lift our voices now? Come on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, RT, we're growing, we're moving, we're He's stretching us. Oh, He cares about us. He cares about you. But you got to cast your burden down at His feet. You got to. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, RT. I'm pulling for somebody here tonight. I'm pulling for you tonight. Hallelujah. Breathe.